Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Phil Colicchio, and you are listening to The Business of the Business, broadcasting live on the Heritage Radio Network here in beautiful Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. We broadcast every Wednesday at 5 p.m., sometimes at 5:45 p.m., if traffic is tough. And if you miss our live broadcast, and it would be a terrible shame if you did, you can always find us archived at www.heritageradionetwork.org or as a podcast on iTunes, and we're excited to be part of the Heritage Radio Network family. Okay, I think we should get down to business. The hospitality industry accounts for well over 100,000 jobs in New York City alone, from the Waldorf Astoria to the Youth Hostel. From Per Se, the fabulous restaurant at the Time Warner Center, to the falafel cart, from the Bull and the Bear Bar to the Blarney Stone. These businesses are a huge component of New York City's employment and tax base. But for years, even the idea of opening a bar or a restaurant in this city was daunting. The maze of government agencies, paid facilitators, inspections, re-inspections, contractors who appear and then disappear. It was time-sucking, it was frustrating, and it was very expensive. You'd think, with the importance of this industry to New York City, that the mayor's office might want to become more hospitable to the hospitality industry. And you'd think private industry might come up with a business model that could actually advocate on behalf of new hospitality businesses, whether they be restaurants, bars, or hotels. Well, you know what? Today we have both of those things. In 2010, Mayor Bloomberg's office created the New Business Acceleration Team, and specifically for the restaurant industry. And in 2011, an incredibly experienced restaurant construction manager, Brian Stiles, created the private component here in that's based here in New York, called the Stiles Hospitality Initiative. And today I have the executive director of the New Business Acceleration Team, Robinson Hernandez. Good afternoon, Robinson.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
And we have the incredibly talented and highly experienced Brian Stiles, president of the Stiles Hospitality Initiative. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Phil. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you both here. I know it was a challenge today, holiday traffic. We greatly appreciate it. I do want to tell the folks listening today that if we stumble over our words in any respect, it's because the hosts of the show previous to us left us a bottle of beautiful Ballycone Baby Blue corn whiskey that we all think we needed a little poke of before we got started today. Robinson, I want to start off with you. The NBAT, as the acronym goes, was created in 2010, and it was a very important initiative by the mayor's office. What really created the momentum to get it started?
Right. Well, at the time, early 2010 or late 2009, the city, the country, we were going through a very difficult time. A lot of jobs were being lost, a lot of businesses being displaced. And the mayor, this administration, city council, the speaker were all very interested in trying to come up with innovative ways of helping businesses get through this difficult time period. So the administration challenged its staff and said, could we come up with ways of identifying easier means for businesses to open? My boss at the time, Sherry Hyman, who's now commissioner for another agency, BIC, had a unit under her that was called the Office of Special Enforcement. This agency was an interagency task force that was responsible for dealing with vices. They brought different agencies together to try to ensure that whatever enforcement mechanism was put in place would keep that business closed. And so we said, why don't we take that model, let's flip it on its backside, and look at how we can do this from an economic development perspective. Let's look at how do we help these businesses open by using that same model, the different resources that are out there, the different agencies, and leveraging that power to ensure that when a business opens, it's compliant with all city codes and it's ready to move forward and operate successfully.
It seems so obvious, doesn't it? It seems so obvious sitting here saying, wow, we want to increase employment in the city. We want to increase the tax base. We want to honor this industry that is so significant to the city. Can't believe it didn't happen sooner. Brian Stise, you have worked in restaurant construction. Sometimes we call it build out. Sometimes we call it project management. But for well over 25 years in this city, what was it like trying to get through the maze of city agencies before NBAT showed up?
Well, I'd say when things were good back in the early 2000s, permits came out pretty easily and maybe even too loosely in the city, and then the city decided to clamp down.
Can I ask you? We want to educate people who are listening, if they're going to take the time to listen. So the permits, we all work in the industry, but let's talk, what are the permits that are going to be required from initiation through opening? Just give me a laundry list.
Well, of course, you have the building permit, which is the most obvious. If you're going to have outside dining, you have to have a cafe permit. If you're going to have music and dancing, you have to have a cabaret permit.
I love that one. I love the cabaret permit.
Yeah, and not always so easy to get.
No. Public assembly.
Public assembly is another permit that you need that's required. You have to have Department of Health sign off if it's a restaurant. Of course, a liquor license. And, you know, depending on multiple floors, multiple venues, there could be other permits that could kick in.
So I do want to ask both of you, there is one thing that when I began doing this work, I learned that there was a cottage industry in New York called facilitators.
Expediters.
Facilitators. Are they still necessary now that the business acceleration team is here and that we have experienced project managers like you, Brian, or is that an industry that maybe should never have needed to exist?
You know, I've worked all around the country, and some regions have expediters and some don't. In New York, it's always been a cottage industry. It's almost ingrained in the way things are done, and I feel that we almost use one on every project here. It's very rarely that we go for one for a permit without an expediter.
Robinson, tell us what an expediter can do. An expediter that's has integrity and that can add value to a project.
Right. Well, expediters are very familiar with the city processes. They're familiar with the different codes that we have in place. And the city, and to ensure the safety of its infrastructure, to ensure the safety of the food being served to the public, has a number of codes that have been in place for many, many years to protect the public. And so expediters serve a special niche in that they are very cognizant of the code. They understand the ins and outs, the intricacies of all of the different facets of code. And so when there is interpretation needed, they can work with a client to try to communicate with the agency and understand exactly what requirements they need to comply with. That said, the city has made certain efforts to try to streamline the code process. And so in 2008, New York City, the Buildings Department issued a new building code. It hadn't been updated since 1968 and prior to that, 1938. This code is revised or is supposed to be revised every 3 years in order to reflect current changes or new technologies. And so the city is trying to standardize its building code. It's also modeled, or it's working in conjunction with the International Building Code to make it easy for businesses from outside of the local regions to come in and comply.
It seemed to me when I began it, like I said, it sort of seemed like the deck was stacked, you know, against someone who wanted to open a business, and that you really needed to simply really hand over control over the opening process to someone else. And I don't think people want to open restaurants or bars or hotels unless they're doers, unless they're hands-on people. So I think that process, it showed it. Some of my clients were frustrated by it. That being said, you're working with expediters. They can play a great role in moving things forward. But moving things forward is what you do. How many restaurants have you helped open since the acceleration team, the new business acceleration team, was formed?
Well, before you jump into that, I think it's also important to know that a lot of the expediters are also known as code consultants. I think Robinson was sort of hinting to that they know the codes, and a lot of them are professional architects who went onto the permit side of the world and used their knowledge of code to help clients avoid mistakes, I guess, in their permitting process, to help smooth it out going through. So many of them are actually code consultants / expediters. I didn't mean to interrupt.
And that's a really good point, because many folks see expediters and are scared by them, thinking, why do I have to deal with an expediter? Expediters are experts in their fields. They do understand the code. That said, it's the challenge upon the city is, let's not make it so complicated that you have to have an expediter in order to move forward.
No, but a business owner, and I would be a hypocrite, or some would say even more of a hypocrite, if I didn't say that every business owner needs an advocate. And whether that advocate is an attorney, or whether it's the new business acceleration team, or whether it's a project manager, we're all acting as advocates, and I'm sure a good expediter, a good code consultant, a good facilitator is going to act in that capacity. They're going to be an advocate for you, help you understand. Help me understand now. The new businesses that you've helped open, how many since the institution of the team?
It's over 1,000 at this point.
That's great.
Close to 1,100. Where we've assigned a client manager to work directly with the business and help them open their doors much, much faster than they probably would have anticipated.
You just used the reference, a phrase, client manager.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, and you know what? Brian, as really one of the, I'm going to say it, you know, one of the best, one of the most experienced project managers in this town, you've helped open well over 200 restaurants in this town, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, over 25 years. What's been your experience in dealing with Robinson's team?
Well, it's very interesting because...
I'm sorry, the mayor's team.
Right.
You know, it's interesting when Robinson said client manager, I had a smile on my face that would crack my skull. up until he said that, the only other place in the country that I've ever heard a municipality, a government, refer to someone looking for a permit as a client was in the city of Denver. And to see that Bloomberg's administration and the MBAT team sees these people as clients is hugely important, because it shows that they value them.
Yeah.
It's the difference between calling someone a customer or a guest. You know, there's in the hospitality business, it's a different thing. And to hear that words come out of Robinson's mouth should make every business owner in the city feel good.
I agree with you 110%, and like I said, it is a very hospitable thing that the mayor's office has come up with.
Now, to answer your question, in my interaction with MBAT, they've been very proactive. They've been encouraging, you know, unfortunately in the old days, you know, building departments were, that's wrong, push it back and say, come back in four weeks.
And that's a very frustrating, very expensive.
Well, especially someone who might be inexperienced, it's extremely disheartening. For someone who's experienced, it's still very discouraging. And these guys, they really dive in. They want to tell you what you need to do. It's not, you're rejected, go away. It's, how do we get you to the finish line? It's really been proactive to, let's get people open, let's get people working, let's get new revenue for the city. So it works for everybody. It works for the operator. It works for the city. It works for the residents of the city who now get employment, who have an opportunity to provide food for their family.
You know what? All great points. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a new initiative that is Hurricane Sandy related. That would be the Restoration Business Acceleration Team. We're going to be back after a short break. This is Phil Colicchio on the Business of the Business, broadcasting from the Heritage Radio Network.
You're listening to Movement and Location by the Punch Brothers on heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Chris Howell from Kane Vineyard and Winery. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Kane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. For more information, visit kane5.com.
Hey, we're back here on the Heritage Radio Network, Phil Colicchio, and we're talking about the Business of the Business, the show that looks at the business side of the hospitality industry. That musical interlude in our break was brought to you by the Punch Brothers, the brilliant Punch Brothers. Movement and Location off of their latest release, Who's Feeling Young Now? And anyone within earshot, you should know that the Punch Brothers will be playing live at the Bowery Ballroom on the 29th, 30th, and 31st of December 2012. Treat yourself and go see them. They are life changers. Speaking of life changing, we had a terrible storm. Seems like it was just yesterday. Businesses across the Northeast were impacted, particularly businesses in Lower Manhattan and in New Jersey. Robinson, what has the mayor's office done to recognize the unique damage that was done by this storm to the restaurant industry in New York?
Right, the storm was devastating to the area. Immediately, during, and right after the storm, the administration put together its resources to try to come up with an emergency plan to try to start assisting residents as well as businesses. The moment we were able to get back into our building, started working with these businesses trying to get assistance. A couple of different efforts from different agencies. All of this was put together and announced last week as part of the business recovery zone. So the mayor announced five different zones throughout this city that had been the hardest hit. These were in Staten Island, Staten Island, Rockaways, Howard Beach, Coney Island area, the Brooklyn waterfront, as well as Lower Manhattan. Not to say that there were other areas throughout the city, but these were the five hardest hit areas. And so with the business recovery zones, what we've done is we've enabled a new team called the Restoration Business Acceleration Team, leveraging the resources, leveraging the organizational skills that NBAT already provides to start working with businesses to get them back on their feet as quickly as possible.
Right. And Brian, your business, the project management seems uniquely qualified, uniquely set to us to be of assistance for restoration on at least the physical damage side. Your business does an awful lot, though. Your business does everything from site analysis to lease analysis to actual monitoring of the deliverables in a construction project, almost always on behalf of the owner. Have you seen any of your clients impacted by this storm? And if so, What do you see their needs to be?
Well, first
not
of all,
just in New York City.
Yeah. Well, first of all, just in the due to the impact of the storm, I had one client in particular that the Sunday before the storm hit, we were supposed to get our gas meter put in, and they canceled our installation of the gas meter because they wanted to keep their teams ready in the ready position and rested, knowing the storm was coming. And due to the damage of the storm, we didn't get our gas meter for almost 4 weeks till after the storm, which was devastating to our client because he had all the staff on hand. He was ready to open after we got our gas meter going, and it delayed the project. It delayed the workforce that we had of men that were on the job because they might have lived in Lindenhurst or somewhere like that where their homes were destroyed or their family's home was destroyed. Businesses in New Jersey that were supplying materials to the job that were underwater that we couldn't get the materials for the job.
Couldn't get them.
So it impacted, you know, work that I have at Mohegan Sun down to New York City, out to Roosevelt Field on Long Island. Yeah. All those businesses were impacted. And it's still a little bit lethargic of the workforce out there that's still feeling the impact and trying to shake their head and get the cobwebs out from the impact of that storm and how it changed people's lives.
Yeah. Well, it's terrific that the mayor's office recognized this need immediately. What are the kind of relief services, restoration services that the restoration business acceleration team can provide?
Right. So we're working right now with 10 agencies as well as the two public utilities on trying to facilitate any request that deals with infrastructure, that deals with sanitation, sanitary conditions, permitting, plan review, licensing, certification, anything that you need. We're working with these agencies in order to facilitate that. So if we have a business that needs to get through the process in order to rebuild, we'll start working with those agencies to make it as easy as possible.
Are you overwhelmed yet, or do you still have capacity?
We still have the capacity
to
do this. Right?
That's really important. I want people to hear that and know that. And you know what? Usually we save this to the end of the show, but we'll do it twice. How do people contact your office, businesses contact your office, to get this assistance started?
Right. Call 311, ask for RBAT or NBAT, and you go communicate. You'll get directly communicated to our group, puts you through to a phone line where you can directly talk to a client manager.
Just dial 311 and ask for RBAT, and you'll get connected?
Right.
Well, Brian, I know that's not the way it works for you.
No, not quite.
But people should know your contact information, too, because there's still a lot of physical work to be done. How do they get a hold of you?
Well, the best way is you can search me on the web. It's Stys Hospitality.
STYS.
Yep, there's right. No vowels in that.
That's right.
And that's the best way to find it. My website's there. My phone number's on it. So that'd be the quickest.
And by the way, you're not a one-man band.
No.
I mean, one of the things I want to make sure that the listeners know, and I know Robinson knows this from having worked with you, is that you've got an extraordinary network of professionals that you bring to a project. In these circumstances, where do you see that network expanding?
Well, you know, I have my core team that's employed full-time, but as conditions warrant, you know, being in the industry for so long, specializing in hospitality, I've built a pretty good Rolodex of people in the industry, whether it be, you know, like you, Phil, as a lawyer, or, you know, leasing people, or architects, engineers. I'm usually able to put together a what I'll call the A-team to help any client get through what they're trying to do.
Yep.
I also have a question for Robinson, because I think this is probably also help facilitate why we have the restoration thing. How long were you guys out of business due to the storm?
That's a great question.
One day. We were actually out of business that one day, the day of the storm itself, on Monday. On Tuesday, I was driving into the office. Luckily, we were one of the few buildings downtown with a generator in place.
Wow.
And so we were trying to reach out at that point. And we started carpooling and everything. But we started trying to reach out to other businesses at that point to see what we could do to assist. And then we were out in the field. I personally was out in Staten Island, as well as the Rockaways, Breezy Point, and then Far Rockaway, trying to see what we could do to start getting the word out.
Have you seen, you know, I'm curious, and that was such a good question. I'm going to ask Jack to give you your own show when we finish. But so we're all focused on right now, of course, on, you know, what I've been referring to as the reconstruction. But really, have you had any new businesses been reaching out to you since the storm?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. That's, so it's interesting. I mean, that's gutsy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And in fact, we did have a couple of businesses that, although they had postponed their opening, they opened perhaps like a week or two afterwards. We had one in the Gowanus that opened. We had one in Canal Street, you know, a famous Danish restaurant.
I heard about that one.
Aarhus, Copenhagen.
Yes, yes.
No, there are a lot of people, you know, I think most people understand that this was a devastating storm for us, but they believe in New York, as you know, and so we want to be there to serve them. And we still continue to receive a lot of requests from businesses in trying, you know, in asking for assistance and how can we help them open quicker,
right,
easier in New York. And so we have seen the requests come in. We probably get about like 5 to 6 requests a week.
How often do you deal after you get an initial intake,
right?
And you assign a client manager. How quickly are you dealing with someone like Brian and Brian's group once you begin that intake? Is that quick?
Right. Yeah. It really depends on either the owner or the team that they've put in place. And so, for example, in Brian's case, he'll reach out to us on behalf of the owner, tell us, hey, I'm working with this restaurant. I'd like to go ahead and start scheduling certain processes such as plan review or inspections. We start to put that all together. We can sequence it, coordinate it, make it as easy as possible. We work around the client. It's not working around the government. At this point, our goal is you're giving us your business. How do we serve you?
Right. All right, I'm gonna have a little fun now. Brian, before the new business acceleration team was in place, the fastest time period that you had seen for opening a restaurant in New York was how long from beginning to end?
Are you talking permitting or are you talking permitting? Well, again, in the prior to I'll say the economic downturn, sometimes permits were coming out of the city too willy-nilly, you know, and there was no review, and when things got tighter and other things happened in the city, you know, cranes were falling, that the permitting process and the whole procedure got a little more strict, and things start to bog down in the city, and it really slowed things up. And it was 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks to get a permit, depending on what was going on.
Robinson, now, what's the average time?
It really depends.
When you're working it.
Right. Well, it depends on the circumstances of the business. And so what we like to say is that we can cut off up to 4 months off of the turnaround, but a lot of it depends on the unique circumstances of that business.
4 months. Mm-hmm. All right. So, as an attorney who does a lot of work with leasing in this city, 4 months is a free rent period in a lease negotiation. That's a huge that's a huge benefit that you can provide to a new business owner.
Right.
How do we get people to learn about your office? And use it more.
Right. Again, you can call 311, ask for NBAT or RBAT, depending on what you're looking for. We also have a website, www.nyc.gov/NBAT, NBAT. The city also has another website, businessexpress.gov, which is a very helpful site that walks you through all of the different types of regulations that businesses need to comply with. And so all of the material is out there, and the city continuously is trying to find ways of streamlining, consolidating, bringing it all together.
The lawyer in me likes case studies. Brian Stice, you've worked through the business acceleration team, new business acceleration team before. Walk me through a case study that you've had with them and some of the successes. We've talked about this off the record before, but I don't mind if you use a business's name that's worked out.
Yeah, we used NBAT for the Sugar and Plum project on the Upper West Side, and you know, we had a very difficult space. We were trying to combine 4 former tenants into 1 space. And in a neighborhood that is very protective over their small local establishments, and you know, we had a very complicated building, and we had our expediter and our architectural and engineering team, you know, reach out to NBAT. We met with them. We went through the plan review, and we were able to get our building permit very, very simply. It was a very smooth process, almost transparent to the client. It went so smooth. Unfortunately, the historical didn't go as smooth, which NBAT doesn't get involved in. Someday, hopefully, they will. We got the whole restaurant up and starting to be built while we were waiting on our historical portion of that project. And it really benefited the client a lot.
Do you promote the use of
every day?
I do too.
I say it all the time.
Guys, thank you.
Well, I do. And look, I get to work in this industry. It's a privilege to work in this industry. I know that Brian Stiers feels the same way. You get to work with incredibly creative people. You get to see the fruit of labor pretty quickly, a lot faster than some other industries. And to be able to work with really dedicated, skilled professionals who can advance the cause is a privilege. And it's always my privilege to bring clients and colleagues to the attention of your office. I know they get treated great. We're gonna wrap up today's session now. I'd like to have you both back on a day that's got less traffic stress so that we can walk through a couple more case studies. I don't want to end, though, without telling the listening audience that if you're even remotely thinking of opening a hospitality venue, be it a restaurant, be it a bar, be it a hot dog cart, that these two individuals are two of the best in the business at what they do. Their teams are solid and experienced, and they can save you a lot of time, a lot of money, and frankly, they can make you a much happier hospitalitarian than if you try to go it alone. Robinson, thank you.
Thank you.
Glad you're here. Brian Stiers, thanks so much for coming in.
Well, my pleasure.
Folks, Phil Colicchio, I've got the great Jack Inslee there in the production booth doing his great job as usual, making us sound good. The business of the business on the Heritage Radio Network. Fellas, I think I owe you a pizza.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.